Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. My message today is a topical message. The outline is in the bulletin on the back of the prayer list, and the first place I will ask you to turn is Hebrews, chapter 12. We'll read that verse in time. One time I was talking with somebody, and they told of how, as they grew up, that they were taught that God will punish people for their bad conduct. They must have heard it all the time because as a result, this person grew up with a fear of God, believing that every bad thing was a result of some sort of sin or deficiency in behavior. Instead of viewing God as a loving, forgiving, merciful God, he was seen only as an administrator of punishment. Fear gripped their heart more than did God's love. Now, I do not minimize God's wrath. I know that God punishes sin. And I know that He is an all-consuming fire, and we should have a healthy dose of fear and respect of Almighty God. However, I also know that God is a God of love who extends mercy toward undeserving people, and we're all undeserving. So how do we explain all of the bad things which happen to God's children? Should we live in a dreaded fear of reprisal and reprimand? On the other hand, should we go our merry way and live as we wish, just counting on God's love, patience, and mercy to prevail? Well, I do not recommend either of those courses. Let us discuss this matter, knowing that bad things happen to good people. So that's the title of the message today, Bad Things Happen to Good People. Hopefully this will make more sense as we go along, but we trust you understand where we're headed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Again, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you so much for who you are and how you've revealed yourself in your word. And yes, we do know that you're a sovereign God, and we do know that you will judge sinners, but we also know that you're a loving God and that you will show mercy and kindness and compassion. So help us to understand that balance today, that we would respond properly unto you. We pray that you would teach us as we look into your word. Give us understanding hearts and minds. And Lord, we do pray for those in our midst who might be lost today, that you would show them their need of Jesus Christ and convict them of their sin. And draw them to yourself that they might be saved today. Because as lost people, they need to be saved. As lost people, they are under your condemnation. And they do face eternal wrath. Help them to know that. And we pray that you would reveal the mercy and the grace that they can find in Jesus Christ. Lord, just cause us to be drawn to you. Forgive us for our sin. And may you be honored and glorified in all that's said and done. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Well, as we think about this subject today, that bad things do happen to good people, by the way, there are some preliminaries that I would like to discuss before we look at the balance of it or the other side of it. I've invited you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and I do so because I want to confirm that God will indeed punish His children. Inasmuch as we who are parents had to punish our children when they were younger, God will punish His children. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're a child of the King, will God punish you? He will if you're disobedient. Well, this is what we read in the Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, and in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Here's the exhortation. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate and not sons. Verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. The intervening verses, verse 9 down through verse 10, had mentioned the matter of a human experience and how we, when we were children, were punished and we reacted and responded to that, and how true it is. When I was a child, I received my share of discipline. And the truth of the matter was, I needed that discipline. And I'm so glad that my parents loved me enough to discipline me, to guide me. And as we read in verse 11, that chastening didn't seem joyous at the time. I mean, I sure didn't enjoy it when I was getting it. But afterward, it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. It corrected my conduct. Now, what we read in this passage in Hebrews chapter 12 is simply the fact that God loves His children. And when the children go astray, then and God has a various ways of disciplining His children, various ways of chastening, just as much as we have various ways of chastening our children. But God will chasten His children because He loves His children. And so I would not for any moment today try to suggest to you that, Christian, go ahead, live however you wish, and conduct your life however you want. And if you want to rebel against God, you do so, because God is a loving God and He won't punish you. I don't want you to walk out with that idea. I want you to know that God loves His children. God will punish His children. He will, but not everything that comes upon us is a punishment for something we have done. So, following in that line, the second point, and I'm going to look in Malachi chapter 2. I'll tell you what, why don't you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, and I'll read the Malachi passage. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, you turn over there. My second point in the preliminaries is that bad things are used as tools to bring correction. That's what my parents did to me when I needed correction. They used some bad things to correct me, things that I didn't like so much. Because if I liked it, I'd just keep on doing it. But if I didn't like it and I got that correction, well, then I wanted to avoid it. Isn't that true with you? And so God will allow and bring bad things upon us to teach us to bring about correction. I said I would read Malachi chapter 2. Listen, if you will, to verse 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. God just told the children of Israel, if you do right, I'll bless you, but if you don't, I'm going to send curses upon you. Does that make sense? You know why? Because it's a correction to the children of Israel. Now, I invited you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6, because it's a rather lengthy portion of Scriptures, and we're going to look at verse 24 through verse 31. Now, this is the time when Solomon had, and the people of Israel had built the temple. And this is in Solomon's prayer of dedication unto the Lord in regard to the temple. But Solomon astutely makes a comment and discussion through here about the behavior of the children of Israel and God's response to that. And it really just demonstrates to us that God will use bad things to bring about correction. So, 2 Chronicles in chapter 6, pick it up there in verse 24. And if thy people Israel be put to worse before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall return and confess thy name and pray, and make supplication before thee in this house, then hear thou from the heavens, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again into the land which thou gavest to them and to their fathers. When the heaven is shut up, and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place, and confess thy name, and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy servants, and of thy people Israel, when thou hast taught them the good way, wherein they should walk, and send rain upon thy land, which thou hast given unto thy people for an inheritance. If there be a dearth in the land, if there be pestilence, if there be blasting or mildew or locusts or caterpillars, if the enemies besiege them in the cities of their land, whatsoever sore or whatsoever sickness there be, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all thy people Israel, when every one shall know his own sore and his own grief and shall spread forth his hands in this house, and that's a depiction of prayer, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest. For thou only knowest the hearts of all the children of men, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, so long as thou live, they live in the land which thou givest unto our fathers. And so what we find here is a recognition that things come upon them, and it's because of their sin, but if they would return to God, pray and make those things right, then God would bless them. Does that make sense? Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew. As I finish up these preliminaries, I simply have stated unto you that God, I confirm that God does punish his people. He does. I believe that. And then secondly, that God will use those things to teach us, will correct us. Now, I submit unto you, dear Christian friend, that it is your responsibility to discern whether or not the bad things that come upon you is a punishment or a means of correction or a tool for growth and or for glory. In other words, we're going to see in just a few moments, and where you turn to Matthew will be the beginning of that. But the thing is that everything that's bad comes upon us is because we've done something wrong. It's just not, well, okay, that bad happened, I did something wrong. Well, that bad happened, I did something wrong. Not everything that bad happens to us is because we've done something wrong. So there are other reasons why bad things happen, don't they? It's your responsibility to discern that. You need to seek God's face. And personally, I'm of the opinion that if God brings punishment upon me, he will reveal that to me. That he will demonstrate that punishment. And he'll say, well, this is the reason why I'm doing that. And generally, that's been the case. When I recognize that God punishes me, it's because he brings it to my attention. It's something that I have done or not done or something. One of the things, by the way, let me just throw this in for free. What I have learned is that as we mature as Christians, the less we ought to be disciplined. Does that make sense? When your children were very, very young, the foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, and the Bible says the rod of correction will drive it far from them. They need a lot of correction, don't they? Do you know why? Because their minds just aren't mature, they don't develop, and they just do whatever. And so you have to discipline and correct and do what you can to steer the child in the right direction. I mean, it's a constant thing, isn't it? But as the child grows, as he develops, unless he gets to those wild, rebellious years in the teens, but if they grow and develop, the more mature they grow and become, the less they should be disciplined. I saw that with our children. The more the younger they were, the more they were disciplined because they needed that correction. As they were older, they had less need for that. And so I just submit unto you, dear Christian friend, that the more you mature in Jesus Christ and the closer you are drawn to him and the more you walk with him, the less you'll need to be disciplined. The bad things will still happen to you. They will. And so you need to be able to discern that. And that's why we're taking this time in the message today. So I invited you to Matthew chapter 25. The second point of the message, now that we got the preliminaries out of the way, is when it is not punishment. Bad things can happen, but it's not necessarily a punishment. I invited you to turn to Matthew 25 because really this is the foundation, the springboard of where the message came to my heart. And in verse 31 through verse 40, let's just look at the text. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now you say, well, that's an end time statement. What in the world does that have to do with the subject you're talking about today? Do we not have an expression there where he says, what you've done unto others, you have done unto me. Do you not read in the text, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of my brethren, the brethren. And what do we read in the passage? People who were hungry, people who were thirsty, people who were strangers, people who were naked, they didn't have the clothing that they needed, people who were sick, those who had been imprisoned. And so you look through the text and you find that this description regards the children of God not having so good things to go through. Does that make sense to you? I don't know about you, but that jumped off the page to me. That happened to them, and you've been a blessing to them, and so I'm going to be a blessing to you. But the fact is, God's people didn't always have what they wanted to have. Sometimes we're hungry because God intends us to be hungry for a different reason than because He's punishing us. Make sense? Thirsty, lack of clothing, lack of finances, whatever it might be. Now, I grant you that some of these things can be a result of wrongdoing. They can. But there's no indication anywhere that it states everything, does it? And so you might be hungry because you're foolish with the money God has given you and you squander it at Tunica or on the lottery. Well, if you go hungry, whose fault is that? And so that could be a punishment for your foolishness, you see. The other day I got a flat tire. And, was it because I sinned against God? I don't know. I don't think that I did. If it was a sin, it was because I wasn't paying attention to my tires. And I ended up with a flat tire. And so I had to change it. I thank God that I was in a parking lot, not on the road. But I wasn't happy about that flat tire. I wasn't happy having to go buy a new tire. I wasn't happy about any of that. However, I thank God for it. And there wasn't one sense of, oh, that's a punishment. But it happened. Maybe just to be an illustration for this morning. Maybe. But I submit unto you that there are things that's going to happen to you that are bad, that are not punishments. Now, God will punish us. We already know that. But there are things that happen to you that's not always, it's not everything that bad is a punishment, is it? You have to determine that. You have to discern that. If you don't, you're being foolish. You want to discern that. And if you really don't know, I'll just tell you ahead of time, if you really don't know, you need to be asking God, hey, God, will you show me why this is happening? Teach me from this. We'll talk about that at the end. Well, if you would, then go over to John chapter 9. What are some reasons why bad things might happen? John chapter 9, I submit unto you, I just have a few of these we're going to list to you. Number one, it could be for God's glory. You know, bad things can happen simply for God to glorify Himself through you. For example, we have here the blind man recorded for us, John chapter 9, and in verse 2 through verse 5. But there was a blind man, the guy was blind from birth, it says in verse 1. Pick it up in verse 2. And his disciples asked him, saying, look at their mindset. Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? You see, right away they had this conclusion that this guy's born blind. Somebody sinned. Mom or dad or this guy, but he was born blind. Who sinned? You got to be very careful when you start seeing people in our society that have difficulties and complications and physical infirmities and disabilities, you have to be very careful not to draw a conclusion. Well, that's because they did something. Maybe, maybe not. So they asked this question of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, Jesus answered, here's his response, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus goes on and heals the guy, and the guy's a testimony to the Pharisees. And you know what you have to recognize and conclude from this story is this guy was He's above 40 years old. He's been blind for 40 years. He was that way from birth. And Jesus said he did not sin. His parents did not sin. This is simply for the glory of God. And so God in his providence and God in his sovereignty and his wisdom allowed this man, caused this man, however you want to explain it, to be blind from birth for the purpose that Jesus to come at this point to heal this man for God's honor, for God's glory, so that this guy can be a testimony unto the Pharisees about who Jesus Christ is. And you say, boy, that's quite a payment for the glory of God for that moment. I wouldn't want to be blind for 40 years, but what I demonstrate to you is sometimes bad things happen simply for the glory of God. You have to determine that. And by the way, that's a good reason why you ought to respond well to anything bad that happens so that you can glorify God through it. So at least if that is the purpose behind it, he gets the glory and it's accomplished what he desired for it to do. Can you imagine if you behave improperly to this item and he's doing this simply to bring glory to himself and you behave like a wild man and a crazy individual and upset and cast dirt in the air and throw things and curse and do all this and just blame God and get mad at him. Well, the whole purpose for him to bring glory, you just destroyed it all, didn't you? Isn't there times when things can happen simply to bring glory to God? Yes. So learn that to be one example. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would. 2 Corinthians number 1, example number 2. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, in his introduction, speaks to the church of Corinth here in his second epistle. He introduces the epistle itself and then talks about the things that they've gone through, some of the experiences. But I'm just going to direct your attention to verse 4. Secondly, not only can bad things happen simply because of God's glory, but secondly, it's because it could be for instruction. Verse 4. Because he talks about giving God the glory in verse 3, he's the God of all comfort. Then in verse 4, who, that's God, comforts us in all of our tribulation. Those are bad things, aren't they? Comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Do you understand that? Do you understand that God can comfort you in all your troubles or trials or tribulations regardless of why they happen? God can give you comfort. But you can use that comfort then to help other people in the times of their distress. Can't you? Isn't that what he says in the text? God comforts us and so that we might be able to comfort them, comfort others who have the same kind of thing. Instruction. And so, if I break a leg and I go through the problem of a broken leg, then I can 5-10 years down the road, there might be somebody that breaks their leg and is having a difficult time dealing with it. I can comfort them with the comfort wherewith I was comforted. And I can demonstrate to them, hey, when I broke my leg or when I lost my job or when we had a death in the family or when this happened or that happened, this is what we did and this is what God has done. And this is how God brought me through. And you can be used of God to be of help to someone else in a similar situation, can you not? Why? Because you learned that the hard way. You went through the hard school. You learned it. But you can then be a comfort to someone else, and God will use you to do that. So not everything that that happens to you is for punishment. It might be he's just trying to teach you something so that you can be a better servant of his. Closely aligned to this, and go over to chapter 12 this time, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, example number 3. In this same vein, God may bring these things just simply for maturity's sake. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read one verse in verse 9. Paul's talking about the things that he suffered, and he comes down to this point now where he talks about that thorn in the flesh, and he wants to get rid of the thorn in the flesh, and he prays that God would take it away, and God says, I'm not going to take it away. And here's the answer. Paul said, I prayed 3 times, and this is God's response, 2 Corinthians 12, 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God said, I'm not taking that from you. You're going to have affliction. It's a bad thing. It's not for punishment for sin. It's for maturity. I will give you what you need. And by the way, is he not using this as a way to help other people? As we just saw a moment ago in verse 4 of chapter 1. But then he says, most gladly, therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's spiritual maturity. That takes courage to say, you know what, I'll be glad to suffer through that, because when I am weak, then am I strong. And he said, when I'm weak, then his power will rest upon me. That takes a lot of courage. That takes maturity. And I submit unto you, my friends, sometime you have to go through the hard things just simply to make you better, to make you stronger. Think of it as you went through school. Was it always the A, B's, and C's, and the reds, yellows, and the greens, and the 1, 2s, and 3s? Or did it get, then you had to learn the multiplication tables, you know, and the division tables and all that, and you go, man, that's hard, I can't take that, this is tough, and you flunk a test or two. And you got to learn English, and you got to learn science, you got all these things in school. It gets harder and harder and harder. You know why? Because it's making you stronger. And I'll tell you, young people, learn the basics. You young people here, learn all that stuff while you're young, because you know what? It all builds upon each other. And when you get to junior high, you're going to wish you'd paid attention when you were in kindergarten. When you get to high school, you're going to wish you paid attention in junior high. And if you opt up to go to college, you're going to really wish you paid attention in high school. Do you know why? Because they're not going to, well, some places do it. They're not going to spoon feed you. This gets harder and harder and harder. And you want to grow and you want to develop. And that's why your parents will teach you and train you and make things a little bit more difficult for you. Because you need to learn to deal with life. And God will do that with his children. God will bring us things just simply to make us more mature, to help us to grow. The tree has deeper roots because of the wind. If the wind wouldn't blow and there was never any stress against it, those roots don't need to go very deep. But the more stress on that tree up there, the deeper those roots grow. And the more temptation and struggle and trials that you go through, the deeper your roots are going to grow in Jesus Christ. And if you had it so easy and never had a problem, never had a care, we'd be so mealy and soft we couldn't take anything if it came. But God will bring those things to make us a little bit tougher, a little bit stronger, more mature, so that we can have a completeness about us. And so those bad things will happen just simply to make us stronger. You know what? I relied upon the Lord years ago. I can rely upon him now. And this was tougher than it was years ago. But he brought me through that. He can bring me through this. It's maturity. It's confidence. It's trust. I read one time about a sculptor. I don't know if they were talking to Michelangelo or whoever it was, but they were talking to some sculptor, and they said, "How do you know how do you chip that? How do you make that big block of stone into a nice statue?" And the sculptor just says, "Well, I just chip away everything that doesn't belong." Well, that's easy for him because he's an artist. I would never be able to do that. I could chip all day long, and all you see is a piece of stone. But you take somebody that's an artist, they can chip away those chips of stone, and when it's finished, it's exactly what they want it to be. And you know what God is doing in the troubles and the trials? Some of the things that he brings upon you, he's just chipping it away. He's making you more like Jesus Christ. That doesn't belong, I'm going to chip that off. That doesn't belong, I'm going to chip that off. And he's going to do it through troubles and trials. Bad things happen, not because you sinned. He just wants to make you more conformed to Jesus. And so it's for maturity. Does that make sense? Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15, example number 4. John chapter 15, example number 4. You know, bad things could happen unto you simply to make you more fruitful as a Christian. That's what Jesus expresses in John chapter 15 in verse 2. Well, he says in verse 1 that he's the true vine and the Father is the husbandman. Notice what he says in verse 2, John 15, 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You're bringing forth fruit. You're serving God. You're following after him. And a bad thing happens to you. And you go, I don't understand that. As far as I know, I'm right with God, and I'm not quite sure why this is happening. Sometimes he's just purging the branch so that you'd be a little bit more fruitful. He knows what he's doing. He's a husband, and I'm not a husbandman. I can't explain all that to you. I don't know how all that works, but I know that it does. And if you purge the branch, then it'll be more fruitful. And Jesus said, well, that's exactly what happens. Those that are bearing fruit, he says he will purge it. That's not a happy thing. I'm sure that branch that has those little things, the little twigs snipped off, and the old blossoms that didn't bloom completely, and the old fruit still hanging on there, all those cuts. Ooh, ow, ah. I don't know if branches feel pain or not. Probably not. But, well, plants do react. But you get the point. He purges it. That's not a happy thing. But he does it to make it more fruitful. And sometimes God will allow bad things to come into our lives simply to make us more fruitful. You see, bad things do happen to good people, don't we? They do. They do. Let me share this quote. Read it this week and thought I would put it in. Whether the storms of life are of our own making or the result of living in a broken world, our Father is greater. What jumped out to me was those words, broken world. Do you know why things will happen sometimes to me? Because we live in a broken world. That's it. It's a broken world. Bad things happen to good people. Now I want you to consider a few things, and then we'll be drawing a very quick conclusion. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 will draw us down to a close. Few considerations here. The Apostle Paul. Do you recognize the Apostle Paul was one of the great Christian leaders? One of the greatest missionaries that ever lived? A good, godly individual? I would put Paul up there at the top, wouldn't you? I'll let God finish all the rankings, but I have great confidence in Paul. I think Paul served God. I think he was faithful. He was committed, no question. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, Paul writes and he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Notice what he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What did the Apostle Paul say? Was his life a bed of roses? Was he without trouble, trial, and tribulation? Did you notice when we read through those verses that those are the things that Jesus talked about in the passage you read in Matthew 25? When I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I was in prison, when I was naked, when I was cold. Doesn't he list those things? Paul had a lot of bad experiences, and some of it was simply because he lived for the Lord Jesus Christ and he received persecution. He does write, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But here's a good man, a godly man, a faithful man who suffered. Bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And he just kept right on serving Jesus Christ. That's a consideration, is it not? Now we also read, and I invite you to 1 Peter chapter 3 this time. 1 Peter chapter 3. We read in that text, and I mentioned about the persecution that he received. Paul was threatened of the Jews. Yes, he was. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was had scourged. There may be a time that you will suffer, you will go through bad things simply because of doing the right thing. Because you've done right, you will suffer for it. Peter writes this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. He says, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of a reason of the hope that is in you with weakness and fear, having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation or your good lifestyle in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Will you suffer for well-doing? Yes, you shall. It might happen. It will come upon you. Paul gave us an example. My last consideration, if you would, 1 Peter chapter 2, go back a page or so. I just want to remind you of Jesus as our example for suffering wrongly when we are mistreated. How do we react? Jesus is our example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Christ is our example. So let me close by offering this unto you. You've heard the information I charge you, you can gather from it. Number one, not everything that is bad that happens to you is a punishment for your sin. It isn't. Number two, if it is a punishment, learn from it and depart from your sin. And I'll tell you, when my mom would whoop me, I'd like to learn from it. Because you know what? I didn't want to go through that again. I remember one time we were playing a board game. It was Monopoly. I was little and I was losing. And I landed on Boardwalk, you know, and had a motel. Well, that was going to throw me out of the game. So we had the rule that if nobody, you know, if they don't see it, too bad. You know, if the next player rules, you just miss it. So nobody saw it. I landed on Boardwalk. I'm going to lose. And my mom points it out to my brother. Hey, he landed on Boardwalk. You know, I slapped my mother. I hauled off and chopped her one. Whack! Well, guess who got the best of that? My mother jerked me off the ground and beat me senseless. No, she did not abuse me, but she tanned my hide, as we say, and I needed it. I never smacked my mother again, ever. I'm glad for punishment. I'm glad for correction. I'm glad for discipline. And you want to learn from it. Problem is, some of you as Christians are getting disciplined again and again and again for the same things, and God's brought it to your attention, and you just are stubborn. You can keep going if you want, but I'll tell you, you ought to learn from it. That's the best. If you're going to get bad things, you'd rather not it be because of something you've done. You'd rather it be for these other reasons, and there are other reasons in the Scriptures. Number three, I submit unto you, try to find a way to glorify God through every event. Learn from it. Respond well. Whatever it is, ask God. God, I maybe you don't know what the reason is behind it. Just say, God, I don't know why this is happening to me, but help me to respond well. Help me to glorify you through it. At least you can do that. I would encourage you to ask God to bring that about in your life. And the last thing is this. We who are saved have a great precious promise, don't we? You think about all the bad things and the suffering and the troubles and the trials and heartache. We have a promise as God's people, Romans 8:28. And we know, we don't have to guess, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We know. Didn't say everything was good, but it said that everything works together for good. And it'll be for God's honor, for His glory, and for our benefit. God watches over us. God takes care of His own. And we have His promise. Bad things are going to come to every one of us. If it's a result of sin, confess it, make it right. And there are many other reasons why those things will come upon us. You've heard them. I trust it's been a blessing to you today so that you can examine your own heart and life and be found faithful to God. Let's stand. I know I did not address the lost sinner today, but I will tell you God is a God of justice. You are lost. You're undone. You will hear, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. If you don't repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer the vengeance of God for eternity. But God is love, and He will give you eternal life. If you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved. So, lost person, take that to heart. I've spoken to Christians the whole time today. I pray it's been a blessing. Father, we commit the time to you. We love you, we honor you, we praise you. Teach us by your Spirit. Forgive us where we fall short. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The number is 363. 363.